This is program C-1131. I welcome you to another week of our verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. Today we have 161 days left until we fly off to Israel for our special tour there. Any of you that are interested in going, you need to get signed up ASAP. The brochure is on the website, intotheword.net. You can get all your information there and then make your mind up to come with us. And I hope you're going to bring your preacher with you. Whether you go or not, I hope you send your preacher. I've been asking you to talk to the leadership of your congregation and make arrangements to send your preacher on this continuing education journey. He will experience firsthand the places that he's been preaching about already and teaching about already. And he will come back from this journey all excited, all on fire, to tell you all about it and to add some extensive depth to his description of the places that he speaks about in the future. So please, get all that taken care of and go to Israel with me. We are going to take up in the seminar notes today on page 59. If you don't have a copy, then you can get them on the website, intotheword.net. They're in the PDF resources section. Just look for the prophecy seminar notes. If you don't have internet, contact me, 574-850-1327. Leave a message, contact information. I'll get back with you to get you a hard copy of it. So what we're trying to do is pull together some of the parallel information that comes from the two different visions in the book of Revelation that go over the same time period. That is the final 3.5 years, or as it's often called, the day of the Lord. Now, the first vision that we've looked at quite a bit already is the vision of the seven sealed scroll that is written on the front and the back. And this is a scroll that has God's final wrath that's going to be poured out upon planet Earth. When this scroll gets fully opened, we will see the trumpeting of the seven trumpets of God's wrath. Now, the other vision starts in chapter 12, and that is the vision of the long drawn-out war between the seed of woman and the seed of the serpent. That all started back in Genesis chapter 3. There was a prophecy there that this war would exist and that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, even as the serpent struck at him. And that's a clear prophecy about the atonement. In that vision, the vision of the war, we will see vials or bowls or containers of wrath poured out. But it's the same impact, same information in those events that we see in the trumpet events. And that has given me the understanding it's the exact same stuff. And so that's how we're going to present it in parallel. So in the notes, I begin by reminding us from something in 1 Thessalonians that Paul taught about how this will all just kick off suddenly. He writes there in the first three verses of 1 Thessalonians 5, "Brethren, you have no need to be written in regard to time periods and time events. For you know very well that the day of Yahweh, or the day of the Lord, comes like a thief in the night. Even as they say peace and stability, then suddenly destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape." So Paul gives the prophetic understanding that he had is that the day of the Lord will just boom, suddenly start like that. That there will be people talking about peace and security, peace and safety, peace and stability. The very sorts of things we hear talked about today in our modern society. I mean, that was part of the charter of the United Nations, is to establish peace and stability, or peace and safety in this world. Well, that's going to suddenly collapse into chaos. That's the way it is described in Scripture. I believe that that is related to the breaking of the seal, number 6, which kicks off the final 3.5 years, or the day of the Lord. And let's go ahead and read in Revelation 6. Once again, we've gone over this a couple of times. The description of the breaking of that 6th seal on the scroll of God's final wrath. Chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 12. I looked when he opened the 6th seal, and there was a great earthquake. So this is going to be a major shaking of the earth. The sun became black as hair sackcloth. The whole moon became like blood. Now that's actually a reference back to Joel chapter 2. Verse 31, where it says pretty much those same things. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and fearsome day of Yahweh, or the day of the Lord, comes. But more interestingly to us, because we've already studied this, Jesus mentions these events in Matthew 24 as he starts talking about that day that is coming, the day of the Lord that will climax with his return at the very end of it. And Matthew 24, verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light. So we've got these two fantastic events that are happening in the sky that can't be missed. Everybody's going to see it. Now, I have suggested to you that what might be the cause of the sun becoming dark and the moon becoming blood red is a whole bunch of particulate matter being thrown up into the atmosphere. Now, what causes all of that dust, that dirt, to get up into the atmosphere? I'm going to make a suggestion to you in just a little bit. And remember, we are in speculative territory here. Nobody knows prophecy until after it's been fulfilled, and specifically, God has told them that it's been fulfilled. When we're looking at unfulfilled prophecy, we are making suggestions as to how we think it will be fulfilled. And so I'm just giving you my opinion as to how I think it might play out. Back to Revelation 6, because we're not done yet with what happens during the 6 seals breaking. Verse 13 says, the stars of heaven fell into the earth like a fig tree tossing its unripe figs when being shaken by a great wind. And heaven and earth was parted as a scroll being rolled. Now that is pretty much a reference straight from Isaiah 34, referring to the day of the Lord. Verse 4 of chapter 34 in Isaiah says, all the stars will fall like leaves off a vine, and as leaves fall from a fig tree, and heaven will be rolled as a scroll. Jesus, in Matthew 24, following up in the context we just finished a moment ago there, says, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now that added phrase there kind of helps. Because we know in the Old Testament that stars are a poetic symbol for angels. We've actually seen that at the beginning of the book of Revelation, that the stars in the hand of Jesus in chapter 1 were actually the angels of these 7 churches in Asia. So that is an established symbolic principle. And so that has drawn me over to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, the beginning of the other vision that I've referenced, where it says that the great dragon was ejected into the earth and his angels were rejected with him. So we have this event that is expected at the beginning of the final 3.5 years, with the breaking of the 7 seals, that is the 6th of the 7 seals, that the sun is going to go black, the moon is going to turn blood red, the stars are going to be falling from the sky, and the heavens will be shaken, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and I believe a lot of those stars that we're referencing are the fallen angels, the rebel angels being kicked out of their dimension, the heavenly realm, into our dimension. And you might remember when we were going through Revelation 12 that the angelic choir, the good angels, began talking about how it was great that Satan and his angels had been booted out of the heavenly realm, but woe to the earth, because they've come down to you and they know they've only got a short time to carry out their wrath, their anger against the people who are on planet Earth. So what I believe this is talking about is angel fall. That's how I describe it. It's when the fallen angels at the beginning of the final 3.5 years get booted in our dimension and they begin their final attempt to blockade planet Earth against the second coming of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they are going to do everything in their power to get humanity on their side, to stop Jesus from presenting himself as the eternal King. And I believe that when they fall, some of them will literally fall out of the sky. And I think there's a physical reason for this. The angelic beings are currently in their dimension, which exists kind of over ours. That is, it takes up apparently some similar place in space, but it's in a separate dimension. And there are different rules that apply there. And so when these angels who will be flying around in their dimension suddenly find themselves in our dimension, I don't think that the aerodynamic rules here would allow them to keep flying. And so I think they will fall to Earth. And any object that falls from high in the atmosphere at a high rate of speed will often look like it's burning up. And that's what causes the shooting star phenomenon when we have meteorites come down. So I think that same thing will be happening with the angelic beings. Some of them that appear on planet Earth itself, that is down on the lower level, that's going to be kind of a frightening experience. I believe they will try to pull off a cover story of, we are alien beings. We are here on planet Earth because there's this great war that's being fought, and we are on your side, humans, but there's somebody coming in the future that's against you, that wants to enslave you, and we need to help you stop that from happening. I think that that would very likely be their cover story, and I find it interesting that we've already got a lot of stuff happening in the world of fictional media, books and television and movies, that play out a story very similar to that. That the gods of the ancient world were actually alien beings. And that eventually they will be back. And not all of them are on our side. So I would anticipate that's going to be part of the problem. Now, what's going to happen during angel fall? Well, if you've got a whole bunch of physical bodies of these angels, and it might be millions of them, popping into our space-time continuum, they may set off an electromagnetic pulse. And any of you that have read up on such a thing, that can knock out all of our electronics, or at least a significant part of it. So I think that might lead to some chaos. Remember, I'm speculating here. That's all I can do. I think that it's possible that a lot of these angels slamming into Earth might kick up a lot of dust. But then again, remember, we've got an earthquake that's mentioned at the beginning of the breaking of the sixth seal. So if this is a huge seismic event, it may light off the ring of fire around the Pacific Ocean. it may ignite a whole bunch of dormant volcanoes, and that's going to send a lot of dust up in the air. The angels hitting the ground might send a lot of dust up in the air, and that might explain the sun going black and the moon turning blood red. We've also got this question. If this sort of chaos happens suddenly, what will occur on the tense borders of enemies that are in current Cold War states, such as, for example, North and South Korea, or China and Taiwan, or Japan and China, the United States and Russia, the United States and China? Is it possible that each side might assume the other side is doing some sort of attack, and they might take some sort of limited military action, perhaps even using some limited tactical nukes? All of this together provides a lot of opportunity for understanding how the sun would go dark, at least for a good period of time at the beginning of this chaos, and the moon be blood red. And even this part that we read from Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. Every mountain and island is moved from its place. I think that's related to a seismic event. You might think back just a few years when they had that great big earthquake that caused the tsunami out in the Pacific. And scientists reported that that island actually moved a few inches. Well, if you've got a big enough seismic event that moves every mountain and island in particular, that's a big one. Verse 15 now. The kings of the earth, the leaders, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, every slave, every free person hid themselves within the caves and within the bedrock formations of the mountains. We know that a lot of the places in the world have shelters in the event of attacks. There are also some shelters in the event of some sort of cataclysmic natural disaster. And if these things that we're talking about suddenly occurred, those shelters would be filled to capacity very quickly. And I think that's what's being described here. Now, it says here that the mountain, they said to the mountains and the bedrock formations, fall on us, hide us from the face of the one sitting upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath came, and who is able to stand? Now, I think that might describe things a little farther into the story. Once it becomes obvious that Jesus is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, some of these people who have no love for him, who have no desire to have any type of relationship with him, will want to barricade planet Earth against his coming. Now, for those of us who are Christians, we find that just almost unbelievable that any human being or any created being, if we want to throw Satan and his angels into this, would think that they could stop the Creator God from coming and doing whatever he wants on planet Earth. Is just, that's amazing. It's unacceptable. But that's the sort of thinking that exists in the minds of those who hate God and think that everything should happen according to their desire. Now, before we go on any farther, I want to remind you again that in the beginning of the breaking of the seals, we met several characters that will play roles in this final 3.5 years. And that was going to be the beast leader. And we've got war that comes with him. And we've got famine that comes with him. And then we've got death and Hades that come together with all of this. And it says in the text that because of the actions of these four riders, 1/4 of the population will die. And so I think it's possible that in the chaos that begins at the beginning of the final 3.5 years that I've just described, there will be huge casualties. It could hardly help to be anything but that. And then the final world leader, the guy that a lot of people refer to as the Antichrist, capital letter T, capital letter A, he will work on Satan's behalf to annihilate anyone that is on the side of the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will, as Daniel says, try to rub them out, rub the saints out. So I think that we could see a quarter of the world's population be wiped out in a very short period of time because of all these actions. And if you want to get a really good sense of that, think of the world population as approaching 8 billion people right now. So one quarter of that would be 2 billion people. And that is an amazing number to try to wrap our heads around. But it is all the more reason why we, as believers, should try to get others to join us in the number of those who, even if death does come to us, we belong to Jesus Christ and we will go into his presence immediately and will be with him for eternity future. And so that's just another reason for keeping the gospel to the forefront. At this point, I want to continue into chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, where we arrive at this passage that deals with the 144,000. Now, before we read the words, I want to remind you from an earlier passage that I told you to keep in the back of your mind, because it would make interesting sense later. And that's from Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9, when the fifth seal was broken. And it says there that when he broke the fifth seal, I saw beneath the altar, this is the prayer altar, the individuals slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they were maintaining. So these are the people throughout all of past history had died for their faith. And their souls are there in a special position in front of the throne of God in the heavenly realm. Now, what are they asking for? Verse 10. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Until when, holy and true master, will you defer judging and avenging our blood from those living on the earth?" And a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told they will rest a short period of time still until their fellow servants, their brothers, and those about to be killed, even as themselves, should be fulfilled. So the breaking the fifth seal predicted that there would be even more martyrs, and that somehow those martyrs during a short period of time are going to be tied into the rest of the story where God starts judging those that have killed his people. Well, I think that that is explained here in chapter number 7. Chapter 7, verse 1, "After this, I saw four angels standing upon the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth so that they might not blow wind upon the land, the sea, or any tree. I saw another angel rise up from the east with the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels to whom it had been granted to harm the land and the sea, saying, 'Don't harm the land, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the slaves of our God upon their foreheads.'" So effectively, you've got four of God's angels, and I believe these will end up being the angels who are bound or limited at the Euphrates River that we will meet later. I also believe personally that they are God's angels. I don't believe these are fallen angels bound there, because the word for bound, we'll discover later, can mean limited. So I think these are God's angels who are standing by to carry out God's wrath, but at this moment in time, they're being told, wait, You cannot proceed with the wrath of God until this group has been clearly identified. And what group is it? It's 144 persons that will be the martyrs that were predicted back in the fifth seal breaking. And they effectively become the countdown clock to God's wrath. I am going to suggest to you, because we're almost out of time today, tomorrow, I'll suggest this to you a little bit stronger, that I believe these 144,000 will be in close proximity and relationship with the two witnesses of God. And I believe these gentlemen, because they are gentlemen, will be testifying about the identity of the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And I believe that when they go outside of the protective boundaries of the two witnesses, these guys will end up killed. And when the last one of them is dead, the time clock is out, and the wrath of God will begin. So that's the thesis that I want to develop a little bit more tomorrow as we come back together. You will go through this list and you will see that the 12 tribes of Israel are mentioned, with the exception that the tribe of Dan does not appear in this list. And nobody understands or has a clue as to why that's the case. I might suggest some things to you, but I will tell you nobody really understands why. So go ahead and read a little bit more here and be prepared to come back tomorrow and pick up in Revelation chapter 7 about the sealing of the 144,000 soldiers of the Lord's army.